Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the washboard division here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, this is basically a request for information. Recently, we were trying to answer a question sent in by a reader of our newspaper column about how to best drive on a washboard road. And I should explain, maybe some people aren't familiar with what a washboard road is.
Yeah, unpaved roads with big holes in them.
Not holes, but ripples that run perpendicular to the ruts that are in the road. I mean, all dirt roads. This mainly applies to dirt roads.
Yeah.
Dirt roads have ruts in them that are worn out by the tires. And then there are ripples which run perpendicular to those.
Which, by the way, change depending on the weather.
Factors include
rain.
Traffic, rain,
wind,
pitch of the road.
Pitch. Tar. Tone. Embouchure. All that stuff.
The question is basically, someone wrote to us and asked how you should drive over a washboard road. Should you go very slowly so that your tires follow the contour completely of all the peaks and valleys?
Yeah.
Or should you try to zap along at a given speed that would be determined entirely by experimentation so as to hit each crest?
I mean, we had great long discussions about this. I mean,
even formulas like S equals 1/2 GT squared, et cetera, et cetera.
Dougie sends me a little physics test through email one day. It says, Y equals 1/2 GT squared. Question, what is Y? What is G? Show all work. Right. And then he presents me with this problem. Ron, the guy who wrote the letter, said, well, obviously, you got to be prudent. You got to drive very, very slowly so you don't wreck your car. His wife, on the other hand, being the wacko of the family, says, oh, contraire, piston puss, you got to voom. That way you just miss all the holes. You just ride from crest to crest. And that's why I was using Y equals 1/2 GT squared, which, of course.
So you were agreeing with Ron in saying that you should go very slowly and go up and down. And of course, and that's the traditional method you would assume.
Sure.
Of traversing a washboard.
But I will not
eliminate. Which
would
make you, of course, car sick. I think you should find that speed.
Yeah.
Where you can just skip right along the tops.
If you could find it. And that's what we were trying to do with the equation was, if we assume that for some reason all of the ruts, well, we're not calling them ruts. What are you calling them?
Bumps.
Are exactly the same distance apart.
Oh, you'd have to assume that.
Say 2 feet from top to top. Then how fast should you go to basically miss fat chance?
Well, in any event, this is a cry for help because we really don't know the answer, as anyone that read our column will be painfully aware of. So we're asking physicists, people from the scientific community to help us out, or people with significant washboard experience.
Well, I don't think the physicists are going to be of much help to us, frankly.
You need a physicist that lives on a back road.
Man, I think you just need a Bubba who lives on a back road because he will have figured it out. He will have experimented enough to know that he'll go out and measure the bumps for us and say they're a foot and a half apart, and at 32 miles an hour, I can't even feel them.
That's what we need. That's the kind of information that we're looking for.
That's right.
This is part of the service we provide.
Exactly.
Well, this is how Einstein started. He wanted to know what happened when he ran at the speed of light.
Yeah. And he said, if I was going at the speed of light, would I encounter all these ruts in the road?
So if you care to communicate with us in this matter, write to us at Washboard Division, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
02238. Or you can email us from cartalk.com, or write to us in the traditional manner. People don't write anymore. Feel free to write. If you'd like to call us about anything, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Kim in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Kim.
Yes. Kim.
Yes.
How are you?
Just great. How about you?
Not bad.
Good.
What's up?
I have a 91 Subaru Legacy wagon I just recently purchased from my mother.
Hmm.
Just recently, I've noticed a noise underneath the front driver's side wheel. I'll give you the noise. It's cluck, 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 cluck in first gear. I push in the clutch, and then it's silent. Then in second gear, it's cut, 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 you know, it gets faster and faster as I, you know, accelerate.
Uh-huh.
But while pushing in the clutch, it's gone.
Yes, sure.
But then in fifth or fourth gear, you don't hear it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I first thought it was something wrong with the tire. It sounded like something was caught in the tire or somebody was underneath the hood banging.
You were so close.
Somebody's underneath the hood banging.
No, I would say you're about 7 or 8 inches away.
This car, I'm going to guess this car has about 88,000 miles
more.
On it.
More.
117,000 miles
sure.
on it.
Sure.
Yeah, you need to replace the axle. The noise is coming from the left front wheel, the driver's side front wheel.
Yes, sir.
That's the axle you need to replace.
The axle.
It's a front-wheel drive car, so the axle is the thing that brings the power from the transmission to the wheel.
Okay.
And since the wheels bounce up and down, it has to have a way to sort of flex.
Right.
And the things that makes it rotate and flex at the same time is this thing called a constant velocity joint. And when it goes, you know what sound it makes? Clack, 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 clack.
And it'll make it worse under the greatest amount of load, so that when you're accelerating in first and second and really, trying
loud.
To overcome the inertia of the car,
right?
You know, the body at rest tending to stay at rest,
yes.
It'll make its most noise. And when you're at 45 or 50 miles an hour,
it's not working so hard.
It's not working. It's not undergoing as much stress.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to break. In fact, on the way to the shop,
it'll break.
It'll break. But if it breaks, you won't die.
How long ago did you buy this car from your mom?
I bought it a year and a half ago.
Oh, well.
The last two cars, I've forgotten to add one major ingredient.
Oil?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Lack of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it brings up another question, though, which is, if you buy a car from your mother,
uh-oh.
A woman who gave you life itself.
Oh, no.
Do you have any right to complain about anything?
And even more than that, when she offers to sell it to you,
yeah.
Should you treat her like any other seller and go by caveat emptor?
Well, I had to sign a contract that I would take care of this car.
Oh, sure. So she puts the blame on you.
Yes.
And why would she make you? Why would she care?
Because Kim has a bad reputation.
Exactly.
But isn't it in Kim's best interest to take care of the car?
Yes, but Kim is a flaco.
Hey!
Come on. Kim is a wonderful person,
but she
can't seem to remember little things like putting oil in the engine.
All right. Well,
Kim, you sound like a school teacher.
No. I work for Levi Strauss Incorporated.
Ah.
3829.
I'll remember that, fella.
You left out a number. Isn't it supposed to be like 3824?
No. I was giving her my measurements. The only two that...
I
wasn't guessing hers.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
See you, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate your help.
Bye-bye.
I mean, I thought it was a bad idea to do business with someone in your family. I mean, would you buy a car, like, from your sister?
No.
Of course
not. No, but
not.
She would buy a car from me.
No. We discussed it, she and I, one day.
Oh, you did?
She said, Ray's got a car for sale. Or Chuck, she refers to
you as.
Chuck has a car for sale. And I said I wouldn't do
that. No, you wouldn't do that.
Why you? You might as well go to John Sleazeball used car dealer. You'll make out better.
You think so? Probably. I buy mine from here. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. Who's this?
This is Jason from Worcester, Ohio.
Jason.
Yeah. Worcester, that's W-O-O-S?
That's right.
Yeah.
See, we spell it differently here.
Well, you know, we understand that, and we forgive you guys out there.
By the way, we spell it, for those of you who would like to know, W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R.
Now, we don't...
Is that
to
like
be, to be fair, we don't pronounce it Worcester. Yes, we do.
Worcester. W-O-O-S-T-A-H is how we pronounce it. It's Worcester.
Worcester, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to Worcester to look for a truck.
I bought my truck in Worcester.
I know that. Anyway, Jason, what's up in your Worcester?
All right. My problem is threefold. First of all, I have an 87 Dodge Colt.
That's a problem.
Now, the first thing that went wrong with this, it leaked oil really bad.
Yeah.
So about a year ago, my dad and I changed, actually we put a new seal on the oil pan, which is only made for, I think, baby midget's hands to get up in there.
Yeah, the oil pan gasket.
Yes, we changed that, and it was great. It worked. It never leaked oil again.
Good.
But now the oil light is on all the time.
Oh. This is a year later?
Huh?
A year later.
Yes.
And you somehow attribute a year later to
something? It happened right away, but I just didn't pay attention to it.
Oh. And he's been trying to call us for a year.
Wait, let me get it straight. You replaced the oil pan gasket, and immediately upon doing that, the oil light came on?
I wouldn't say like that day, but maybe a week afterwards it came on.
A week afterwards.
But
okay.
It's on all the time, even though there's plenty of oil in it.
My first reaction is probably unrelated.
Okay,
so B is the oil light came on.
Right.
That's okay.
Even
Roman
though
numeral three.
Is this a bad thing?
Is it a bad thing for the oil light to be on?
How many miles have you driven it with the light on?
Do you really want to know? Probably about 30,000 miles.
Okay. No, it's not a bad thing.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Okay, Roman numeral three. What's the third problem?
Well, actually, the second problem.
Second?
That was the first problem. The second problem is...
No, so you had the first problem is having an 87 Colt.
Yeah.
That wasn't the problem.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Okay, when you start the car in the morning and you get ready to go, you push the gas, the main belt squeaks really bad, squeals. Mm-hmm. No matter how much, you put a little belt dressing on it, that might make it just a little quieter, but it still makes this really obnoxious noise.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
For how long?
Probably for maybe 15, 20 seconds.
Okay.
Then it's done, and that's all you hear for the whole day.
Have you ever tried replacing the belt?
No.
Don't bother.
No. Okay. Live with the noise.
Okay. Anything else? Is that it?
No. Okay. Now, here's the big one.
See, we want to hear the whole thing because there might be a relationship among all of these.
Okay. Here's the last one.
Yeah.
When you get in the car in the morning, you start it up, starts fine. You go to give it a little gas to go, and it stalls.
Yeah.
It might do this 4 or 5 times.
Sure.
Until you finally have to
finagle it. Doesn't start at all anymore.
Yeah. Until you have to finagle the gas and the clutch to just go, and just give it gas while you're letting the clutch out a lot, and then it's fine. Now, I did get some gum out or something like that and put it in the carburetor a while ago just to kind of clean it out.
Good, good.
But then it started to do it. It seemed to do it after I did that.
Good, good, good. I'm going to guess that you have 160,000 miles on this car. Is that
true? About 130.
130.
130. The last 30,000 of which the oil light's been on.
Okay. let's address the ones we know the answers to first.
Okay.
Yeah, we know all the answers.
Oh,
the overall answer is you got no problems here to speak of. I mean, you are in pretty good shape, right?
Absolutely.
The thing runs pretty much. It makes a little noise for 15 seconds, big deal. As an oil light comes on, you could cover it up with black tape and you wouldn't even see it. And that's about it. And if you weren't so impatient in the morning and let it warm up for 3 minutes, then it wouldn't even stall. So
that's all it needs?
You practically don't have any problems here.
Do you want my car?
I mean, there are many, many people in the world who would give their left arm to have a car that did all these things.
Do you have
that
a list of these people? I can.
All right, you know whose name is at the top of that list?
Yeah.
Thomas L. Magliozzi.
Well, you certainly have a defective oil pressure switch, or all the wire is broken and shorted someplace. That explains why the light's on.
Okay, but that's not a bad thing?
Well, we hope that that's true.
Well, you should fix it only because if you were to run out of oil, you would never know it. You would just say, that light's always on.
Well, I check it about once every other week, just automatically.
Well, I understand, but let's say you're driving on the highway, and you hit something in the road, which puts a gash in your oil pan.
Oh, okay.
A small gash. A gashette. And your oil leaks out. So you may check it every week, but it leaks out in the course of 2 hours of driving.
Okay.
Which you certainly do from time to time, I'm sure.
Yes.
And you ruin the engine.
Okay, now is this a hard thing to replace?
No, it takes 5 minutes. It's near the oil filter. You unscrew it and you screw a new one in and that's done.
Yeah, it's cheap and it's easy to do. Yeah. There's nothing better
than
this.
Just go and buy one and then open the box, hold it in your right hand, and look around into there until you see something that looks just like it, but dirtier.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you really want some excitement, do it with the engine running.
I would recommend you replace the belt, because if the noise is still there after putting a new belt on, there may be something wrong with the pulley.
Okay.
Maybe the pulley is coming apart. And the reason it stalls in the morning is you have a weak accelerator pump in your carburetor, which you're not going to fix because that'll require taking the carburetor apart. And you agonized over doing the oil pan. Imagine how much you complained doing the carburetor.
I mean, you might just have a misadjusted choke. I don't know if you've messed around with that yet.
Don't touch the choke. Don't touch the choke.
I'm telling you, Jerry. Yeah, so, I mean, if you actually let it warm up for a minute in the morning, it won't even stall.
Okay. Hey, you guys are great. We listen to you every week, by the way.
Thanks. We appreciate
Thanks
it.
A lot. Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
I was driving my son in my car the other day. And
in your car?
In my car. And he says, how can you stand it? And I said, stand what? He said, that noise. I said, which noise?
Right.
He had focused on one particular noise.
Oh, what a fool.
Well, yeah, and it was making him crazy. You can't, if you focus on any one noise, it's better if you just let them all meld together.
Right.
It's like, it is a symphony.
Like
That's
a cement
true.
Mixer symphony.
Cement mixer, right.
Okay, we're going to try a little word association to get you to remember last week's puzzle. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Toyota Land Cruiser.
I'm supposed to just give you free yeah. associate? Okay, Toyota Land Cruiser. Big.
Okay. Vitreous China.
Cups.
Good. Very good. Richard Simmons.
Wacko. Okay, so we have big cups, wacko.
There you go. Well, I just made those up. They don't have anything to do with last week's puzzle. It was about Fermat's last theorem, and oh. I'll have the answer in just a minute.
I was pulling my way down to Baton Rouge, standing on the side of the road, when the car pulled over and a voice cried out, we'll take you where you want to go. I jumped inside, but to my surprise, naked as a poor man's toes. It was a tight situation when the whole congregation said the devil was in my clothes. 20 naked Pentecostals on the Pontiac, brothers and sisters shouting in the back, elders in the front, choir in the trunk, 20 naked Pentecostals on the Pontiac.
And even though the NPR dietitian switches us to an all-raw spinach diet whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler, and here it is. Mm. Almost everyone remembers from his or her days in school the Pythagorean theorem. Mm. A squared plus B squared equals C squared, where A and B are the sides of a right triangle, and C is the hypotenuse, or hypotenuse. And we all know there are certain numbers that work for this formula, like 3, 4, and 5, 5, 12, and 13, 1, 1 squared, the square root of 2, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Now, many hundreds of years ago, a French mathematician by the name of Fermat declared that this formula only works for squares. You're a square, it works. If you take the integers A, B, and C, and you take them to the third, fourth, fifth power, or whatever, it doesn't work. For example, there are no integers for which A cubed plus B cubed equals C cubed, he says. He writes this in a paper and says, by the way, I have a neat little proof, but I didn't have room to write it in the margin. But trust me. Mm. And that's why that theorem is now known as Fermat's last practical joke. Anyway, as luck would have it, a young mathematician issues a statement that Fermat is wrong, and he has the numbers to prove it. He calls a press conference. He says, I have three numbers that prove Fermat is wrong, and I'll give you the numbers first, and then I'll give you the powers. He wants to build the drama, you know,
yeah.
Next week.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers, he says, are 91 is A, B is 56, and C is 121.
And he's claiming that at some power, A to the N plus B to the N is going to equal C to the N.
There you go.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
It just so happens that at this press conference, there are some science reporters, and one of the reporters has his 10-year-old kid with him. And the kid very sheepishly raises his hand and stands up and says, I hate to disagree with you, sir, but you are wrong. The what? Question is, how did the kid know that this mathematician couldn't dispute Fermat with these three numbers?
Well,
and the numbers were 91,
yeah.
56,
yeah.
and 121.
Well, you know, as I was driving home last week,
yes,
the answer came to me in a flash. In a flash.
Are you 10?
And I'm more than 10. I'm 10 to a power.
Yes, you are.
I'm 10 to the N.
Well, yeah, I would say almost everyone's 10 to some power.
Well, I mean, what occurred to me was C is 121, no matter what you do to that, any power.
Right, yeah.
And then a 1.
There you go. And no matter what you do to...
And there's nothing you do to the other ones. You can't make them come out to add up to 1.
There you go.
You can't do it.
And that's exactly what the kid saw. He said, 91 to the nth power is going to end in 1.
That's going to end in a 1 also.
56 to the nth power is going to end in 6.
Sure.
And 6 plus 1 is going to equal 7.
Not 1.
The ones digit...
is going to be 7.
It's going to be a 7. So the ones digit of the 121 to the nth power has got to be 7, and it can't be.
It can't be.
Whew. Who's our winner this week?
The winner is Mrs. Donna Marie Markey. Wow, she gave us a whole name like that? Donna Marie Markey from Albany, New York, and for having her correct answer chosen at random this week, Donna Marie Markey from Albany, New York.
Gets a new washer and dryer.
Almost. She will get 1/100th. Of a washer dryer, she will get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can get a copy of our book, Ask, Click, and Clack. It's a collection of our newspaper columns in which people ask us car questions, and then we largely ignore the question and write about whatever we feel like writing about.
Oh, kind of like what we do here on the show, right?
Yeah. With the added bonus that you don't have to listen to us.
That's when you just turn the page. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. In the meantime, let's see who's waiting patiently on hold for us. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tom, presumptuously spelled T-H-O-M, in Stamford, Connecticut.
Really? Oh, T-H-O-M.
Yeah.
I told you the most interesting spelling of Tom came from my buddy, Les Block, from Minneapolis.
Get out.
Remember him?
No.
And he spells it T-A-U-G-H-M.
That's Boston, Tom.
Tom. Now, that's pretty good, I thought. That was pretty creative.
You can't be just any ordinary Tom. Why don't you try it sometime, like add an H to Ray or click and clack?
No, I'm changing
H-R-A-Y. H-R-A-Y.
I'm changing my whole name to Erasmo.
Yeah, I changed my name a few years ago to Dante. People just kept calling me stupid.
Erasmo's too close to erratum.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right, well, anyway, what's going on, man?
I do an automotive question. I got a 92 Volvo 940 Turbo. The problem is, at low speeds, driving on smooth pavement, like in a parking garage, making a sharp left turn, there's the sound of a dunk. You know, dunk, like metal binding as I'm turning the wheel through, you know, 70, 80% of the maximum turn
angle. And then
angle.
It's like it's binding up and suddenly letting go with
a
dunk.
But it's a sound only, no vibration.
Yeah.
Now, let me give you some clues which may or may not be relevant. I don't know. The left...
Our minds are made up already anyway.
We don't need no stinking clues.
We've already decided.
But
go
ahead.
You can tell us whatever you want.
It'll make you feel better.
Yeah. The left front tire... is wearing unevenly.
I knew that.
Yeah. You knew that. What?
No, he didn't know that. He didn't know that. He's making that up. It's between
car,
you and me, Tom. It's complete horse feathers. But it sounded good, didn't it?
He believed it. If he believed it, I bet you 2 million other people believed it too.
You sound like the guy I used to work with at the Foxborough Company. No matter what you told him, he said, "I knew that." You know, you spend like 3 weeks deriving some formula or something, and you'd say, "John, do you know that blah, blah, blah?" I knew that.
Okay, well, I'll give you the worst-case scenario first.
Uh-oh.
And then I'll give you what I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
The worst-case scenario... Well, you know...
Yeah. Does it involve the frame being bent?
Oh, I didn't think of that. I'll give you that first. The frame could be broken, but I don't think so.
No.
It's possible, although unlikely, that the rack and pinion is bad, and you're going to catching a bad spot on the rack.
That's the purveyor of doom.
Yes,
theory.
That's expensive.
Oh yeah, no, that, you'd have to pay someone to burn the car if that were the case.
Again.
What I think is wrong is you have a worn strut rod bushing. These cars are famous for having. There's a little strut rod that goes between the control arm and the frame.
Yeah.
And the bushing is worn out. It'll make exactly the noise you described.
Okay, a strut rod bushing.
And it's I think they're just worn out. And as you put the car through its paces, you're causing that thing to shift. And that's it's hard to detect. It could also be a ball joint.
Okay.
But my guess is, my gut feeling is it's in that strut rod.
Okay.
And it's been doing this for a while, but it hasn't gotten worse?
Last couple of weeks hasn't gotten worse, and now it's actually intermittent, but it's there most of the time.
Is it likely to be gone in damp weather?
Haven't noticed.
Mm.
That's interesting. Why?
Well, because the water would act as a lubricant sometimes.
See, if you had said yes, he'd have said, I knew that.
Well, I... All right, that's...
Speaking of which...
Yeah?
Your tire means that you need an alignment.
But the fact that the tire's worn out tells me that something is causing it to be misaligned, and this thing could be doing it.
It could do it.
Okay.
See you, Tom.
That's Tom. Thanks a lot.
Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Nancy from Berkeley, California.
Hi, Nancy.
Oh, home of the wackos. How are you?
Yeah, well, I married into the town. I didn't move here by choice.
Yeah, well, it happens.
It does. Well, yeah. Here's my problem. Hey. I have a husband and a 3-year-old boy, almost three, and I've got an Integra, a 90 Integra, and my husband has a 92 Camry station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. When Sam, he's the 3-year-old, is in the back seat in his car seat, We typically drive on Highway 1, which is completely windy.
I know it well.
Okay, you know it well.
Yeah.
Sam's in the back. If I'm at the wheel, Sam vomits every time. if my husband's at the wheel, he never vomits.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And I want to know why he won't vomit for my husband.
Well, in all cases, you're driving the Camry?
Oh, no. It doesn't matter whether I'm driving my car, the Integra, or whether I'm driving my husband's.
Oh.
But no matter what, if you're driving,
the kid pukes.
That's right. That's right. And now, he's a very smart kid. Now, when he starts sensing it, he'll say, no, Mommy, no, not the wiggly road.
Oh, no, not that, Mommy, no, no.
Not the wiggly road. Yes, indeed.
Well, it's interesting. If you were to drive him, you may not have done this, if you were to drive him without your husband in the car, in his car seat in the back, does he lose his lunch then, too?
Oh, yeah.
So it's you and the car and him. Your husband doesn't have to be there.
Yeah. No, it's her. It's you, Nancy. It's clear.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I
mean, and doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why. You have a lead foot.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. We are one of those people with jackrabbit starts. Full off. Hit the brake. Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been around people like you before.
Is
I
your,
know
is
your
husband,
type, baby.
Is your husband a Californian?
Yes. Well, he's been here 30-some years.
So he's driven on this road a lot more than you have.
Right.
I want to guess that you're a little bit tentative driving on this road, and you don't have a smooth motion.
Well,
as you negotiate the turns, and there's a little herky jerkiness in them, and every time you do that, that lunch gets a little closer to the top,
to the seats.
I'm paying close attention to how Dave drives it, and I've noticed that his speed is pretty uniform.
Yeah,
that helps.
And what I like to do, I have a stick shift. I've always slowed down a little bit before the curve, and then put on some gas during the curve because the traction's better.
Well, that's correct.
And it's fun.
Sure, but it's the slowing down and speeding up that makes you lose your lunch.
I think the change of speed and direction are what's doing it to poor Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely.
So what do I do before a curve and during a curve?
Well, paregoric works.
you know what? You need sodium pentothal.
See, when we were kids, no matter what you had, your mother gave you paregoric. You remember paregoric?
No, it's illegal, because I think they found out it's got opium in it or something.
It is opium.
And that's why you got better. You were out of it, man.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could knock little Sammy out, if he was sleeping,
right, we wouldn't have a problem.
You wouldn't have the problem.
You're suggesting I drug my child?
Well, no.
Are you promoting the use of drugs on 3-year-old kids in California?
I'm suggesting.
Brother, it's getting wackier every day.
I'm suggesting before these forays into the country to look at the birds, that you keep them up all night, slap them around, you know, and make sure that when he gets in that car seat, he conks right out.
Yeah. Give him coffee about 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and cigarettes. Coffee and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, it is the jerkiness, though. That is really what does it.
I would try to drive like your husband and just go nice and steady and make... You know, very subtle moves with the steering wheel.
Is the Camry automatic transmission?
You bet.
Yeah, take the Camry next time. You're less likely to fall into the trap of doing what you do, because when you're shifting down and shifting up and all that stuff, then you're more likely to blow lunch.
See you, Nancy.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye.
Good luck.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jake from Pescadero.
What's
Jake.
That, Pescadero?
Pescadero is a little fishing town south of San Francisco, about an hour.
Yeah, Pescadero means fisherman.
Yeah.
Well, the fishing place is what they claim.
Pescadero.
That's it.
I like it.
So what's up, Jakey baby?
Well, I got an 88 Pontiac 6000 that's growing hair.
Hey, you could make a lot of money out of this.
It's a possibility.
Where's it growing the hair?
On the roof. And on the hood.
On the hood?
It grows about a quarter of an inch a week on the top, and you can wash it off.
It's like fuzz?
Yeah, like fuzz. It's sort of like an old
chia.
Poodle.
It's like a chia car.
Yeah.
Really?
Don't we screen the calls anymore? No.
I need help.
That's good.
What do you mean you need help? You need Earl Scheib. Just paint right over it.
It's a deep midnight blue that's slowly going gray, sort of like me.
Yeah, what color? Oh, the fuzz is gray?
No, the fuzz is sort of a dishwater blonde.
Really?
Really?
Where do you live?
Pescadero!
Do you live near anything strange, like a nuclear power plant?
Near the water.
That's it, near the Blue Pacific.
Near the Blue Pacific? You park under funny trees or anything?
No.
And this fuzz grows like... All over the roof or in patches?
Now, pretty consistently across the roof.
Gee, well, I mean, it's got to be a fungus of some kind.
You think so?
Oh, I know so.
Did you ever study biology? No.
Well, not really, no.
Chemistry? No.
No, not really. Well, we know it's a living thing because it grows. I mean, by definition, it's going to be, not by definition, not really.
No, bird droppings.
No, they don't grow.
Jeez, Jake, this is very interesting.
Well, I took it into the dealer, and the dealer said that this is a car that had experimental paint, that Pontiac was experimenting throughout the 80s with paint.
Oh, really?
Had the dealer ever seen this before?
Evidently, but could not give me a diagnosis.
Obviously, the only remedy here, you know the remedy, is to grind it all off and paint the car.
They want $2,000.
Forget it. Forget it, Jake. Let it just grow. Leave it there.
Just keep washing it and maybe style a little?
Yeah, I think so. Have you tried a cream rinse?
I mean, if you buy one of those electric shaver things, you could come up with some interesting patterns up there.
Oh, you can carve your name in it.
You could carve your name. You could send messages to the UFOs because they can see right down onto the roof. You could write out anything you wanted. You know, like
the
teenage kids that have the cool haircuts with a stripe through the right or a stripe through the left.
Well, their initials carved into the... Those are right in the head. Those aren't in the hair. Those are carved right in the bone.
Yeah.
But I think that you ought to take this as an opportunity to make a statement.
Yeah, get creative, man.
Take it over to the high school.
There you go.
That's it. They'll do it.
Take it over to the auto shop.
Excellent.
See you, Jake.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, it's getting to be that time of the show again.
Is this when the NPR commissary sends up some Darjeeling tea on a silver serving tray? Is that what you mean?
No, we're getting served during this break, but it's the NPR legal department that's doing the serving.
Well, with counsel's permission, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
Chrome everywhere. You can shave every hair on your face.
And even though our relatives up and move without leaving forwarding addresses whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to...
Wake me up!
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler.
Yeah,
go ahead. There's been a lot of vitriolic hate mail about some of the previous week's Puzzlers.
Yeah, well, we've got a lot of people who think that your answers are wrong.
Well...
And, of course, they're wrong.
They're wrong, but that's okay.
But that's okay.
I haven't embarrassed anyone by using his name yet.
No.
Anyway, this is not one of my Puzzlers this week, but this was sent in, God knows, 19? Long time ago by a fellow named Ed Cash. And
thanks, Cash.
The inspiration for this Puzzler was
Johnny's brother.
Was one of the other World War II Puzzlers that I use. So this is going to go into...
What was it again?
The World... Out of the Inky Shadows.
No, how does it start? The Quonset Hut thing.
A dimly lit Quonset Hut.
Dimly lit. It was a dimly lit Quonset
Hut. Well, inspired by that puzzle and a few other World War II puzzlers, Ed Cash sent this one in. And he says he got it from some reputable source, but it could be what?
Bogus. But as long as it's fun, that's all that matters.
He says, one of the ways that Allied agents in World War II used to get microfilm, for example, past German guards, was to hide it in hollow coat buttons. Not the kind that you have on your shirt, you know, where the thread goes through, but the kind with the loop in the back like you'd have on a coat.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
And the top of the button screwed on and off like a jar lid.
Good.
Okay.
I like it.
Well, this worked for a while, but somehow the Germans became aware of this particular trick, and they started giving a twist to the buttons on the coat of anyone they weren't sure of to see if it unscrewed.
I know the answer already. I don't even know what the question is.
Anyway, when the Allies found out the trick had been discovered, the people in charge of preparing the clothing for new undercover people to wear on their missions had to make a change.
Yeah.
They did make a change, and none of those hollow buttons were ever discovered again. What was the change? Now, if you think you know the answer...
Whoa, this is good.
Oh, drop dead. Now, if you think you know the answer, I could have obviscated it.
No,
a lot,
no, I think
didn't.
It's fine.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the hood of a Subaru Outback 86 with four Nokia Hakkapeliitta snow tires, Thule car rack system, and pre-installed Free Tibet and I'm Pro Sheep and I Vote bumper stickers. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
Fair City,
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com.
Free Tibet. I'm Pro Sheep.
Look, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2782-55. A lawyer on Car Talk.
This is Mike from Rochester, Michigan.
Mike, how you doing, Mike?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Good.
All right.
What's up, Mike?
Here's the question.
Ye.
I have been conscripted into swapping a motor out of a 1985 Toyota-built Nova. This has an automatic transaxle in it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I yank that without pulling
the
trigger?
No. You can, but you'll never be able to drive it again.
Ah.
And you'll need explosive devices.
Well, I'm about ready to... I've thought of a Molotov cocktail anyway, but...
No, you need to yank the whole thing together.
Okay.
Maybe. You can get the transmission out of this, whether it's an automatic or a manual, without pulling the engine. But
right.
You can't get the engine out without pulling the transmission, unless you're willing to cut off one of the front fenders.
Well, yeah. That,
yeah. But you want to take the whole baby out in one piece.
Okay. There was a wide variety of opinions on that, and it was about four for leaving the transaxle in there and one for pulling it out with it.
Yeah.
And evidently you guys went along with the minority, but I certainly trust your opinion.
Well, on the other hand, you know... Breakthroughs in science are always made when somebody tries something
right.
that they shouldn't.
And takes a chance.
I don't have a cut. I don't have a cutoff saw, but I have a torch here. We could do major surgery.
And more importantly, this isn't your car.
No, correct.
I'd go for it.
Well, I mean, you could remove the fender. Then it would slide right out sideways.
No. There's a frame member there.
No, you can't, yeah. You've got to remove it. It's a permanent removal.
No, you've got to take the whole thing out in one piece.
All right.
Well,
and that's easy.
A project like this can only be challenging if the weather is below 25 degrees. I mean, you can't do this in warm weather.
And if you're doing it on the street.
Well, no, see, that's not a problem because I have a heated garage. But my other vehicles in the garage are starting to be offended with this this vehicle in there. And
do you have a high enough ceiling?
Yeah, do you have a chain fall? How are you going to do this?
Well, we have a cherry picker.
You have a cherry picker, but but the boom is, how high is your ceiling?
Oh, I don't know, 7.5 feet.
You'll never get it out.
Well, we can roll the vehicle outside, too.
Sure, you're going to disconnect everything.
Alternatively, you could cut through the ceiling in the garage and have that boom go up into the living room.
Or better yet, roll it out and just keep on rolling.
No, this is a fun project. You'll have fun doing this, and you should be able to wrap this up in a weekend.
Whose car is this?
It's my cousin's.
Yeah?
I'm kind of paying back a favor, so.
Yeah, big favor.
Yeah, you'll be old. Well, when this is all done.
Hey, have a wonderful time. It'll take you, I'd say, 3 weekends.
3 weekends?
No, just a one-weekend job.
Yeah, I think like a 12-hour day and maybe wrap up the second day.
Fat chance.
You don't plan on sleeping, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, look, call us in a few weeks and let us know if we can help.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
See you, Mike.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Tom and Ray.
Yes.
This is Sally. I'm calling from the Library Science School at UNC Chapel Hill. That's North Carolina.
You have an entire school devoted to library science.
Yes, there is.
What, just to put the numbers on the books?
I mean, what is this bit?
I mean, what kind of science is this?
I mean, I understand that people get, like, master's and doctorate degrees in library science. I mean, this is like art history. I mean, what the hell? What is there to library? If you know the Dewey Decimal System, what else is there to do?
Well, there's library science. Library of Congress, and that's a different classification system.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's the master's degree.
Right, they use the Admiral Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah, they use the Dewey Cheatham and Howe. The Dewey Cheatham and Howe Decimal System.
Dewey Louie Dewey.
And then beyond that, I mean, Sally, I mean, are we milking it here or what?
Well, obviously she has nothing to do because she's on the phone.
Right, I mean, once you've mastered JP4.1164, I mean, what the hell else is there to do?
Well, we're about to find out.
Go out and work in the library. Right?
Yeah. So, okay. Sally, other than that,
yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have a beautiful 1963 Dodge Dart.
Oh! And here I am giving you a hard time. Bite my tongue.
It's actually my second Dodge Dart that I've owned. The first one got junked because I brought it into you for a blue plate special. And I needed $2,000 worth of repairs that I didn't have at the time. This was about 10 years ago.
No, it didn't get junked, Sally. That's actually the one
that
my brother drives currently.
I didn't have the $2,000 either, but I didn't care.
Well, I've been whimpering at every Valiant or Dodge Dart that would drive down the road for a number of years and pointing it out to my husband. So he tracked down this Dodge Dart for my 40th birthday and wrapped it in pink streamers, put a jar of roses on top, and surprised me.
What a guy.
He is really special.
What a sweet guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Did it run?
It runs. It only has 96,000 miles on it. It has push-button automatic, body's in mint condition, and factory-installed air conditioning.
Get out.
Yes, yes.
I don't have that.
Beautiful.
I didn't even know they had air conditioning. I didn't think Pasteur had invented air conditioning in 1963.
I got the papers to prove.
Now, I'm just curious. I don't want to change this up. I know you have a question embedded in all of this, but how thankful were you?
Well,
I mean, the guy brings home a car that he didn't just walk down. I mean, bringing home a car is one thing, but this guy went to great pain.
Sure. I mean, he could have taken the easy way out. He could have gone and just bought you like a new Lexus.
Right.
But he didn't. Yeah. He obviously searched high and low for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's my point. I've been reading excerpts recently from that book that I can't remember. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Mm-hmm. Have you read that?
No, I haven't.
It's in the library. What's the number? Give us the number.
It's H6. Well, he claims this, and I don't know how true this is. He claims that women and men keep score different ways. If a man does something for a woman, if he does a big thing like this, mm-hmm. he thinks that that counts for like 20, 30 points. He says, I bought her a car. Mm-hmm. He claims that women keep score in an entirely different way. A man does something nice for you, no matter what it is, it's 1 point.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
So they count the number of things.
I mean, that's the way I feel. It's just an observation. I don't have anything by it.
So,
or anything in a bad way.
I mean, were you extraordinarily grateful, or did you really count this as, like, bringing out the garbage? I mean, that's the essence of, I think this guy's name is John Gray. That's the essence of what he says. You take out the trash when she didn't expect you to, you get a point. You buy her a car, you spend 6 months of your life finding a car and buying it, you also get a point. You might as well just take out the trash. It isn't worth it. In other words, big gifts don't count any more than little gestures.
No, this one really did. I burst into tears when I saw it. He had me walk out with my eyes closed. Oh. And then there
my wife burst into tears when I take the trash out.
Yeah, I bought my wife a car one time, recently, as a matter of fact. I thought it was a wonderful thing. She said, oh, thanks.
And by the way,
don't forget the trash, jerk. Okay, I just wanted to mention that. All right, what about the star?
What about the... Right, come on, you have a question?
This perfect. Come on, hurry up. Will you, Sally?
Okay.
We haven't got all day.
It was running beautifully until May. And since May, we've had this happen 3 times. The brakes fail.
Oh,
all of a sudden,
bad.
Just you're driving along. They're normally very tight with about 1.5 inches play.
Yeah.
And then I'll be driving along, and all of a sudden, I can put my foot to the floor.
Ooh.
I'm not getting any brakes.
Yeah.
I have to downshift, with the push buttons, and then use the automatic brake to come to a halt. I mean, the handbrake.
Yeah.
Then I discover that I could actually pump myself. You know, if I just kept on pumping the...
You can pump it back up.
Yeah, I could pump it back up.
Yeah.
But it was quite scary.
I'll bet.
We took it into the mechanic, and we've had the master cylinder replaced twice. They replaced the brake pads. The brake lines were inspected and looked fine, and there was no loss of brake fluid. So our mechanic has basically said, I don't know what it is.
Well, I know what it is.
You know what it is.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Yeah, and you better fix it right away.
Okay.
What is it?
I'd like to know.
Well, you know, it's like you don't ever go out to dinner and someone says, I'll take the check. No, I'll take the check. I figured I'd say, I know what it is. And Tommy would say, I know what it is. And
yeah, well, I do know what it is.
Okay.
I know what it is. No, I got it. You have a restricted brake line,
uh-huh.
which is causing one of the brakes to lock up.
Mm-hmm.
And in the normal course, what happens when you step on the brake, your master cylinder pushes brake fluid to all 4 wheels, and that's what slows the car down,
mm-hmm.
usually,
mm-hmm.
Except in
some cars.
Most cars. When you release the pedal, the brake fluid is supposed to just retreat back into the master cylinder, except that one of the rubber hoses through which the fluid travels to one of the front wheels is not allowing that to happen, because it's acting like a check valve. It lets the fluid go in one direction, but not back in the other direction. So that brake stays on.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you won't know it unless it stays on fully. It stays on somewhat, which allows you to drive the car. But at the same time, it's heating up and heating up and heating up because of the friction, because the heat produced by the friction of that brake actually touching the drum when it's not supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
As you continue to drive, the brake fluid gets hot enough so that it begins to boil, mm-hmm. at which point you step on the pedal and... all the way down to the floor.
So the simplest thing to do is have them replace both of those flexible lines on the front wheels.
And there's one in the back, too, which should get replaced. Anyway, if the car's 100 years old, like we know this is, then mm-hmm. that's what it is. If you have no loss of fluid.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course you haven't. And he can't. I mean, he would not be able to see this because this is happening inside this flexible hose.
Uh-huh.
So well, he might be able to see it if in fact, the next time this happens,
mm-hmm.
if you survive it.
Which you may not.
Get out of the car and feel the wheels. I bet you'll feel that one of those front ones is a hell of a lot hotter, or the two back ones are a hell of a lot hotter than any of the others.
Huh.
That's just a guess.
Yeah,
it's a good one though. It's a good guess.
Yeah, great. Okay.
Right. Now it might not be that it might not be this hose. You know, there are self adjusters. I think this the 63 had self adjusters. It may be that they're self adjusting and making the brakes just too tight, which would also cause this to happen.
Okay.
So, but it'll be his challenge now that he's put in 8 or 9 master cylinders. He must know that that ain't it.
Right.
It'll be his challenge, whoever it is that's working on this thing, to figure out what it must be, and it must be something. One of these wheels is locking up,
right.
And that's what's causing the brake fluid to boil. And if you didn't pump the pedal, if you just sat there for an hour and let everything cool off, the brakes would come right back.
Right, and that always happens. I turn the car off, it sits, and then the brakes work fine for another 2 months and.
Get it fixed. This car could be your last.
Right.
Thanks for calling, Sally.
Well, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've evaporated another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Pritchard. Our engineer is John Carton Parati. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the Pontchartrain, Chow Mein, Quiche Lorraine, Champagne, and Candy Cane Weight Gain Campaign, John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our transgender studies expert is Ben Hur. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, who has a dog, Toto Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the not-yet-discovered percussion prodigies banging pots and pans in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother either.
We'll be back next week. We hope. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1339, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to find a good mechanic.
That's easy. You can go to the marina and look for the biggest boat. Or you can see reviews of mechanics that other Car Talk listeners use and like in our mechanics files. You can search by zip code, area of specialty, or by the number of bunks in the guy's cabin cruiser. Find a great mechanic with the mechanics files right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Mariano Rivera says there are some things even I can't save, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.